The following program may contain language or material that may be considered offensive to the listeners. The views expressed are those of the host and his guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of WHRW or WHRW management. We therefore ask you to carefully consider whether you or your children should listen. And now, I would like to welcome everyone to Atheists at the Table, your table, where everyone is an atheist, even the Christians, Jews, and you. Because let's face it, folks, according to someone in this world, you're an atheist as far as they're concerned. Vishnu lovers not believing in Jesus, whose worshippers in turn forsake the one true God Allah, whose followers detest Zeus? Yes, indeed, it's a madhouse of irreligion out there, and we're here at Atheist Table to talk about it. Every Friday, 5:30 to 6 p.m. right here on WHRW 90.5 FM, Binghamton. Now, what you were just listening to was from the band Nightwish off their album Once, and that was a song, Wish I Had an Angel, the only song they released as a single in America. And we're going to be talking about a bunch of things today. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 607-777-2137. Again, that's 607-777-2137. Or you can catch us on AOL Instant Messenger, that's AIM, where our screen name is WHRW Music. Or finally, if you want to message us or get in touch with us between shows, you can email us at atheisttable@gmail.com. Again, that's atheisttable@gmail.com. Remember, the E comes before the I in atheist, despite what faith you might have had in grammar. Finally, for all show notes, news, links, and various updates from the hosts of the show, you can find our blog on the web at atheisttable.blogspot.com. Again, that's atheisttable.blogspot.com. All right, let's get down to it. My name is Edwin, your evangelical host for the next half hour, and sitting to my left is...
Paul, agnostic atheist or weak atheist, whatever you want to call it.
And across me in Studio A?
Mike, sort of an agnostic atheist, though I'm all over the place.
Hey, how's it going? I'm Mark. I'm Catholic. Nominally.
Nominally.
Denominally.
We like the full title. Come on.
Nice. All right. So, I just want to thank everyone for being with me here today. And now it is time for Godless Wisdom. We need to go into the other studio and like mix something to make that sound like really cool.
That'd be Godless Studio.
Godless Yo. Studio.
Godless Wisdom.
Oh yeah, Wisdom.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Studio.
From the studio. Well, today's Godless Wisdom, I'll be bringing you thoughts from different philosophers' heads and great thinkers throughout the world. And today, the wisdom comes from my head. That's right. All right. Well, my thought for today was that people in the fundy world of Christianity give money to the church because supposedly God has said that if you're charitable, there will be a reward, which will come back to you many times over. You hear this on the televangelist networks all the time. You know, you give $100 and it'll come back to you 1,000 times and you'll get that money in rewards and you're storing up treasures in heaven. You hear that a lot on television from the big evangelical preachers. However, when a non-religious person gives to those in need, they do it with no real thought of reward, except maybe that, you know, that good feeling of knowing that you've helped out. And my question is, and I guess this is just kind of something to sit with, who has the greater morals? The irreligious benefactor or the religious one?
I think the better question is, yeah, I think what you're really asking is who has the better morals, the non-TV evangelists or the TV evangelists?
I'm not talking about the evangelists. I'm talking about the people giving to the megachurches.
Okay, but megachurches.
I really shouldn't say that to the churches in general. Okay. That was a misspoken on my part.
Okay, yeah, there is that kind of logic. I guess you could say where you pay the church some money and apparently you get that back in riches 1,000 times over in heaven. The riches in heaven really are uncountable. I don't know how you can, first of all, say 1,000 times, just infinity times. How about that? But in reality, either you go to heaven or you don't, according to Catholicism. I don't think anybody is higher up on the list, in terms of like where you are in heaven. Okay.
Than the Catholics?
No. What I'm saying is there's nobody, like, nobody at all. Nobody.
Oh, I understand.
There is no priority in heaven. Everybody is with God and one with God, according to Catholics.
Gotcha.
I mean, you could make the argument that saints have a special place in heaven. Okay. Splitting hairs, and I don't really think, maybe besides...
Basically, it's the idea that heaven is heaven.
Yeah,
heaven and hell is hell.
Yeah, I mean, like, give me a break. Like if I were to go to heaven for my summer break, I would say, hey, bring me to the cheapest resort in heaven. I don't care where I go. Okay, heaven is fine for me. I mean, so that's first of all, and second of all, this idea that you would, you know, pay the, like, the church something, and they would. You know, and that would give you, you know, some kind of a reward in heaven in the first place. That's actually a very childish view, in my opinion. And yeah, okay, so maybe the TV evangelists who are making a quick buck off of this makes sense to them because they're making a quick buck off of it. But to people who are very learned in their religion know that it, okay. There is no reward except for, what did you say?
The good feeling you get.
The good feeling of knowing you've helped out is what you said, right?
Right, yeah.
So who has the greater morals? Well, if we're both doing it for the feeling that we did something that helped out, then is there a difference?
No, not necessarily. I guess I was referring to, there's this general idea, I feel, in society that to be Christian is the epitome of morality, and that being Christian basically guides you in a direction that will lead you to give to the church for whatever reason, and often these reasons are impressing God, although you'll hear a lot that it's not good works that get you into heaven, but that's a rant for a whole nother time. Oh, I think we got a call coming in. I lost my train of thought.
Well, then let me take it up then.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I lost my train of thought too.
Oh no!
Oh man, this is a train wreck.
Oh, the idea of so Christian morals push you in the direction of wanting to help to help out for different reasons. One being, you know, it makes you feel good. That's what Jesus would do. But there's also the potential of careful. Of wanting to do it to impress Jesus, to make sure that you do get that mansion in heaven, that you do get better rewards. I'm saying that that Christian, is there a benefit to that? Is there any greater morality in them than in the non-believer?
Well, I think there are a lot of different reasons why people do moral actions, even if they're a Christian. Obviously, there are going to be those Christians who just say that, you know, they're doing it for the sake of doing good. But then there are also the ones who they have kind of an egotistical way of going about things. I think I've heard it termed as narcissistic philanthropy. It's what Bono does, in my opinion, where you just do good just to look superior to other people who don't do as much. And there's definitely an earthly aspect to it as well. It's just, you know, feeling good for yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I just want to welcome Justin to the show. Hey, Justin.
Hi, how you doing?
Looking snazzy today.
Oh, thank you. You know, opera later on.
Yeah. I just want to introduce, we've got someone on the phone. Hello?
Oh, hello. Hi.
Hello.
Oh, I hear feedback of myself. Hi, it's Kristen the Christian.
Hi, Kristen.
And I want to comment on this because I think what you're saying divides the Sunday Christian and the true Christian, which is one of the reasons I did move away from the church and became more spiritual.
Okay.
Because do these same people who do fill the plate on Sunday in church walk past that homeless person? You know, I unfortunately was in a church where there was a home where mentally challenged people lived, and when they wanted to come to church and attend church, there was actually a petition put out to keep them away.
Whoa.
Yeah, and is that Christianity?
That seems...
So it's a very interesting topic. I think it's what you do outside of church.
Wow.
That counts a lot more.
Wow, that sounds pretty horrible, actually. I'm pretty stunned, personally, that, like, a congregation would do that in the first place.
Kristen, you come... that church is from a fairly affluent neighborhood, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know that Mark's stunned, but I've actually, in reading religious news and things like that, it's not that uncommon. I mean, it's uncommon in general, but it's not unheard of that happens in affluent neighborhoods where the church is basically just the Sunday country club, and they do whatever they can to keep it that way.
Right. But I think this fits into what you're saying. You know, if you give it in church, you still give outside of church. Who is more moral? I don't know. It's an interesting...
I mean, even if you're walking... If you're walking down the street and you know, one person sees a homeless person on the street and drops a 20 in their little coffee cup thinking, oh, I did a Jesusly thing and Jesus would love me for that, as opposed to the person... any person walking down and just giving, even a Christian, but not thinking about the Jesus aspect, just thinking this
right.
is a person who needs help, and giving it to them, who is the more moral out of them?
I think this actually kind of reminds me of, tell me if this sounds familiar to you. I seem to remember a story where that Jesus was telling that...
I think I just thought of the same one.
Okay, yeah. Where there's a man in the front of a temple, and he's dressed in his robes and everything like that, and he said, I've never sinned, God, don't you love me? And there's another guy in the back, and he's in, you know, beggar's clothes, and he said, my God, I am a sinner. And Jesus asks, who is the better of the two? Who is the closer to God? And I mean, take a wild guess.
Yeah, I was thinking of another story. It wasn't the same one.
Okay.
Where there's again two people, mm-hmm. and one is a rich man. I'll do it allegorically to modern days. A rich man okay. who gives $1 million to the church, mm-hmm. and then there's a very poor woman, a woman who comes up and gives her very last penny uh-huh. and puts it in the donation plate.
Well, that's my 2 cents. That's where that comes from, actually. That's yeah. Yeah,
I didn't know that. I'll take your word for it. Okay. For now. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I guess it was just something I was thinking about because there was a lot of that. I was watching. I don't know if it was on TV or on YouTube or something, but there was just a lot of that piety about how these religious people are like, yeah, I gave a lot, and Jesus loves me for this, and it was just kind of frustrating me a bit. So yeah. I thought I'd bring it up.
I don't blame you for being frustrated. I mean, I'm sure Hitler gave to charity.
And things like this have just become so much more prevalent nowadays, especially in the United States with this thing, I don't know if anyone's heard of it, called the prosperity gospel, where it's basically, it's that whole televangelist thing where if you give enough money, then, you know, Jesus will make you rich and famous and whatever you want to say.
Is that what, maybe that's what I was thinking of.
Well, it's something that's gone on a lot in a lot of evangelical churches, you know, those sort of Midwestern places where things like where just generally they have a lot more conservative politics, and the politics and religion try to intermesh, even though Jesus was clearly not a capitalist.
Yeah. All right, well, do you have anything else for us, Kristen the Christian? Hello. Okay, I guess not. And I just want to welcome to the studio, we've got two more of our regular hosts on the line. In the studio, excuse me.
Hi, it's Catherine the Apathist.
Hey, it's Heather the Episcopalian.
Sweet. All right. I guess we'll get into news now. I have an update from last week. We talked about the Brazilian child who was raped, was made by her stepfather, was made pregnant with twins, whose body could not possibly handle the pregnancy. And, or did I bring that up, or was that on this week?
No, that's for this week.
That's for this week?
Yeah, it's in your script.
Oh, geez. Okay, well then, this is going to be very interesting. Right, this is from the Associated Press on Wednesday, March 4th. Okay, I've got the report here, and then I actually have what I thought was a follow-up. A 9-year-old Brazilian girl was raped by her stepfather and ended up pregnant with twins. 80 pounds and 15 weeks pregnant. 80 pounds and 15 weeks pregnant, the girl's body could not handle one, let alone two children. Laws in Brazil allow for abortions in cases where the mother's life is threatened. Doctors decided that there was a serious risk to the mother and the fetuses and decided to perform the abortion. The Catholic Archdiocese stepped in to complain about the abortion, saying that the girl should have simply continued carrying the fetus to term and then received a cesarean section. A lawyer for the Catholic Church was quoted as saying, "It's the law of God. Do not kill. We consider this murder." And I just want to say, well, if that's how you interpret it, then you need to make sure that you outlaw meat, vegetables, raid antibacterials, not to mention tumor removal, walking without sweeping in front of you, driving at a speed that could smash insects. I'll stop there, because that's a too literal interpretation of the gospel. And I just want to quickly drop in. There was a follow-up. Basically, the church did not decide to see reason in this situation. Instead, they decided to make it worse. The Roman Catholic Church of Brazil has excommunicated everyone involved in the abortion except the child, who was excused on grounds of her age.
Well,
they kicked them right out.
Well,
so
they honestly don't see it as just as much murder to let the child live and endanger the lives of everyone involved. It just doesn't make sense.
I'm pretty sure the doctors knew what they were doing. I'm pretty sure they would have considered the cesarean. I don't know why.
Yeah,
they
it
thought.
Wasn't even it. From reading the article, it wasn't even
an option.
Just the fact she couldn't have brought it to term. The fetuses would have died inside of her. Mm-hmm. Her uterus could not hold. Basically, it couldn't. It couldn't handle she's 9 years old, for Christ's sake. She's 9 years old and 80 pounds.
Yeah.
Her body could not physically hold it.
I just have a feeling there's more to the story. I would like to know more details.
I'm going to keep up with this as more details come in. I just found this follow up about people getting excommunicated a few minutes ago. So it's brand new news.
I don't think excommunication is a really a common thing nowadays. So
well,
I'm kind of surprised.
I don't know about that. Yeah. Well, the thing is also in Brazil, it is in general illegal for abortions to be performed except in where the fetus or the mother are going to die anyway.
According to the doctors, right?
According to the doctors and the law of Brazil.
Okay, and the doctors said that she was in danger.
Correct.
So it's legal.
Correct.
Okay. But the church has its own set of laws.
God's laws.
Basically, yeah.
I'd just like to point out, as a medieval studies major, back in the day, everybody excommunicated everybody else. So I don't see why they don't just turn around and excommunicate the Pope. That's what Martin Luther did. I mean, seriously, like, you'd have bishops going at each other, excommunicating each other all the time, so I don't think it's that big of a deal.
It's more of a political measure to me. I mean, it's like, okay, you're excommunicated. What does that mean?
Well, the thing is like, it's with her parents and things, I'm assuming, then, yes?
I think so, to anyone involved in it.
Because, I mean, now that means that they can't get buried on
church grounds. On church grounds.
Yeah, it's true.
That's a possibility, yeah.
That's really harsh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I also know, I mean...
Hey, just want to say, Catherine and Heather, if you could just move closer to the mic, it's hard to hear you.
I also know that Brazil in general is a very religious country. So it
has the most Catholics out of any other country on the planet.
I'm not at all surprised. Yeah, I mean, so this may be, you know, kind of distressing to the girl or to the family of the girl as well, you know.
Yeah. I saw a video on YouTube of an 8-year-old girl. Brazilian preacher. It was really weird. I thought she was an American girl speaking in tongues until I realized it was Brazil and she was speaking Portuguese. Yeah.
I do have one question about the girl. Are we
talking about the preacher girl or the raped girl?
The pregnant one.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Did the church say anything about her stepfather? Because if they want to excommunicate everybody for the abortion, but they do nothing about him raping a 9-year-old?
I know that the father was arrested. Let me see. Yeah. I think so. That's what it says here. Yeah, he's been jailed. So he's waiting to get his ass kicked.
So that's from the political side, but the church is silent on that?
I don't know. I'm looking right now. The actual news report is, let me see. 9-year-old girl, spokesperson. I can't find it here right now, so I don't know, but I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's what's up with that. As far as follow-ups go, I want to go back one more time to something that we've talked about for the past 2 weeks, which was the proposed law in Washington State to make illegal the, quote, state use of public money or lands for anything that denies or attempts to refute the existence of a supreme ruler of the universe, including but not limited to appropriations for displays, scientific endeavors, textbooks, instructions, and research projects. I know I've brought this up before, and if you go on the atheisttable.blogspot.com blog, you can find I put a link to ballot measure number 1040. And you can read it the entirety of it for yourself. Well, here's the amusing part. Under a close rhetorical examination of the proposed measure, these religionists have basically damned themselves. This single letter / word, A, ruins everything for them. Because churches are state-sanctioned, and they're given state lands, and they're state-supported, essentially. And basically, any statement made in a Christian church that asserts Christianity as the one true religion, and therefore Yahweh as the one true God, has then in turn denied the existence of, say, Vishnu. Vishnu is a god. Therefore, the churches themselves will be breaking the law. I mean, that hasn't stopped them before. Let's not forget the unabashed support of candidates during the presidential race, despite being from nonprofit organizations. But this does amuse me quite a bit. I love rhetoric. I love tearing things apart rhetorically. But what do you guys make of this?
I can't wait till someone brings it to court. Yeah.
What'd you say, Paul?
I can't wait till someone brings them to court for some, for that. If they actually pass this law.
I can't imagine it'll get passed.
Are you looking at the letter of the law? I mean, have you looked at
I'm looking at one letter of the law, exactly.
Just one letter. Are you looking at the letter? I mean, are you actually looking at an article, or are you looking at the law itself?
Yes, the quote that I just read is directly from the law.
Directly from
the proposed law, yeah.
A proposed law.
Yeah.
It's funny, I wouldn't have expected that from Washington.
Washington State.
Right.
Well, just think, this is in response to that whole debacle recently where they had the nativity thing put up at the Capitol.
Right.
And then the atheist came in and put up a rather inflammatory sign that caused a whole bunch of hubbub, and Bill O'Reilly was going on about it on international news, and it was kind of out of hand. I'm seeing,
you know, it's out of hand when Bill chimes in.
Oh yeah, he's yeah. Let me see. Yeah, measure 1040. The measure would prohibit state use of public. Yeah, that's the exact quote. And if you go to the blog, you can see it. The entire thing. Just scroll down. It's about halfway down the page. It's assigned number 1040. 1040, and it's nuts. It's great. But I think that'll be the last we hear about it, unless it gets passed. If it gets passed, I'm sure we'll be talking about it for weeks and weeks to come.
Well, you never know. If it gets passed there and then it gets passed in other places, it might even become federal law, and we'd all be fugitives.
I think the important part is the active. I don't think that your rhetorical examination of the law is correct, because it says
it's
anything that denies or attempts to refute. So that implies a certain active sort of part do you see what I'm saying?
Not a clue.
It implies that the person is actively trying to say that what the other person is saying is
anything
wrong.
That denies. Anything, I'm going to cut out the attempts to refute, because I'm going to focus on the denies part. Anything that denies the existence of a supreme ruler. If a Christian says that, you know, Jesus is the one true ruler, or let's say a Muslim, Allah is the one true God of the universe.
That is not denying.
That denies the fact that Vishnu can be a god. It denies that Vishnu is a god.
But it's not denying that Vishnu is a god.
Yes, it is.
I think to some extent it is kind of semantics. I mean...
Well, yeah, it is, but...
I mean, and they're actually saying that there is a supreme God, so they're actually not denying. They may be denying that Vishnu is a supreme God, but they aren't denying the existence of
Vishnu. They are denying the existence of Vishnu.
They are not denying the existence of a supreme God, any supreme God. Do you see what I'm saying? They are denying Vishnu. But they are putting someone in that place. As long as that place, that supreme god box is full, like they don't know, like they're within the law.
I hear what you're saying, but basically this sentence could be read in two ways, and as long as both readings are applicable, then
okay. Well, then I think we know which way they're going to interpret it.
Well, of course. all right. Well, we are now officially to the end of the show. I just want to go through real quick the headlines for what's happened. Richard Dawkins is the target of a legal resolution to have the University of Oklahoma rescind their invitation for Dawkins to come speak at their university. That was the last thing. Oh, also, we have from the Associated Press on March 3rd in East Brunswick, New Jersey, high school coach Marcus Borden used to bow his head and drop to one knee when his football team prayed, but the Supreme Court on Monday ended the practice when it refused to hear his appeal of a school district ban on employees joining a student-led prayer. And you can find more on all of this at the blog. All right, I'd like to thank everyone for listening. Remember, you can catch us every Friday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. right here on WHRW 90.5 FM Binghamton. If you want to send us a message, you can do so by emailing us at atheisttable@gmail.com. For all show notes, news, links, and various updates from the host of the show, you can find our blog on the web at atheisttable.blogspot.com. Also, look for us on iTunes, where you can listen to the podcast reproductions of all our past shows, and this one as well. You can also find it on the blog if you just click the title. All right. Tonight, I don't know if there will be atheist at the dinner table. Are you going to be doing that, Paul?
Is anyone
going to be going?
Well,
are you guys going to dinner?
I need to eat.
All right. Well,
much work.
Okay, just want to say, this week's a wash. I was not able to get the reservation for this week, but starting next Friday, immediately following the show at about 6:15, we'll be meeting in Dickinson Dining Hall here at Binghamton University. I'll have a sign up that'll basically identify us at the Atheist at the dinner table, and you can come join us, grab some food, sit down, and we can talk about whatever you want. All right, everyone, I just want to say... farewell. We'll be seeing you next week, and I'm going to leave you with the song. Which song are we playing?
Planet Hell.
Planet Hell. We're playing Planet Hell by Nightwish. All right, everyone. Have a good night.